Not too long ago, science fiction was a genre completely dominated by white, male authors. And what's more, the characters reflected that demographic. However, today, readers enjoy a far more diverse universe due in large part to the first widely successful female African-American science fiction writer, Octavia E. Butler.
Historically, a lot of production was white male dominated. And if you think of Butler's life in particular, she was somebody who, you know, struggled to just make ends meet. She was working all sorts of factory and service jobs, getting up at 2 a.m. to write, trying to find a big break that only came for her fairly late in her life when she won the MacArthur Grant. For most of her life, she was the only Black woman who was making a living writing science fiction and is widely credited for the explosion of particularly Black women science fiction writers that we have now, but as well as just diversifying the genre in general, and has been an amazing inspiration to many of the best writers working today.
That's Jerry Canavan, assistant professor of 20th and 21st century literature at Marquette University and author of Octavia E. Butler, an installment of the Modern Masters of Science Fiction series. According to Canavan, few sci-fi authors before Butler and another science fiction writer of color, Samuel Delaney, ever imagined a world where Blacks, Hispanics, or Asians might also live. Even Butler's editors at one time raised objections to her writing about characters of color unless they were purple.
Both Butler and Samuel Delaney had lots of versions of this question that they encountered from different types of editors who felt that they shouldn't include people of color in their science fictions because then the entire story would become about race rather than about the ideas or about the future or about the technology or anything else. So once you inject race into the story, the history of white and Black in the real world, people can't think about anything else. And her position in the piece we excerpt in my book is that, well, let's think about those things. Why should we stop thinking about those things? They're very important and they matter.
Butler addressed this issue in a seminal article titled Lost Races of Science Fiction.
She's writing about this difficulty she had in kind of interjecting herself into science fiction as a genre that didn't necessarily want to talk about race very much. And if it did, it wants to allegorize it as being about purple aliens from some other planet. And so she didn't like this kind of sense of erasure at all. She said, you know, we need to talk about real issues in science fiction, including race. You can't just erase this question. And so much of her work was in part about writing herself and people like her into a future that didn't necessarily have a ton of place for them.
For example, in her most famous book titled Kindred, she writes about time travel.
She's writing in part about how different it is for a Black woman to go back in time than a white man. A white man can go back in time and kind of see the past as an empty space to be conquered or a way to use his knowledge of the future to gain advantage. But a Black woman who goes back in time sees herself at risk of being enslaved. So that story kind of turns time travel fantasy on its head in this kind of incredibly clever way. And so much of her stories do that. She has a vampire novel. She has an alien invasion novel. She has a kind of novel about mutants who take over the world in the future. And in all of these stories, you see how her status as a Black woman transforms what are otherwise the kind of obvious assumptions of science fiction, the way the white writers who often had university jobs or were making a lot more money than she was saw it going.
Canavan says thanks to Butler, the genre has made progress toward diversification.
The two leads of the new Star Wars movie are a white woman and a Black man. We had the all-female Ghostbusters. We have Wonder Woman breaking all these records when just a few years before, Marvel Studios was saying female-led superhero movies would never make any money. We're kind of getting away finally from this assumption that everything has to be anchored from the perspective of white men. And you also see a science fiction genre that is now able to, you know, in some fundamental way, market itself to populations that aren't white and male. And so some of the projects that she worked on in her life, like she had attempted to put together an anthology of Black science fiction writers, and it never came together for a variety of reasons. Now we see this kind of proliferation of writers, of not just Black writers, not just writers of color, but writers from all kind of orientations and identity categories now being able to publish their science fiction.
The African-American female writer N.K. Jemisin has won two Hugo Awards back to back, the first time any author has done that in 25 years. Butler herself won all the major awards in science fiction, including the Hugo and Nebula Awards.
You're seeing all sorts of new writers emerging on the stage, like Niecy Shaw's Alternate History Everfair, Nnedi Okorafor, who is working in all sorts of media right now. She has a Marvel comic that I think came out this week, and she's working with George R.R. Martin for his Game of Thrones follow-up. So you're seeing this kind of explosion of interest in diverse perspectives that's getting better and better. It's not quite to where parity would be, but there's been a massive improvement. I think if Butler were still alive, she'd be really amazed. We're also seeing finally some of Butler's work being optioned for television, including her series Dawn, which is supposed to be coming to television soon.
In her work, Butler grapples with the concept of otherness and explores how people with different ideas and different orientations can come together.
Across science fiction history and her stories, too, when you meet the aliens, you don't know if you're going to murder them or make love to them, right? I mean, that's like the classic kind of Star Trek paradigm, that she was a big Star Trek fan and loves those kinds of stories. And so there's this desire to encounter something that's truly different from you, and also this kind of terrified fear of what it would mean to meet something different or to become something different. And so many of her stories are dealing with that.
The popularity of blockbuster franchises like Star Wars, Star Trek, and Guardians of the Galaxy proves that the world loves science fiction. Fans love to speculate about what human societies in the future or in alternate worlds might be like. But it's the characters we love that make the stories relatable.
One of the things that is so important about science fiction is this confrontation with the present, right? This sense that, you know, since the Industrial Revolution and the various technological revolutions that have come since, we're constantly trying to catch up to the present, right? It seems the world is changing so often, and science fiction gives us a vocabulary to think about that. So the ideas are certainly important. But without the characters and that kind of one-to-one identification that people get, you really don't have a genre that functions, right? I mean, characters are so important, and that's why the diversification and representation of these stories is so important, that finally all sorts of different people can kind of see themselves in the future in a way they hadn't been able to before. And that's what was so important to Butler and the other Afrofuturist writers, to depict a future that wasn't just all white and all male.
Even though Butler died in 2006 at the age of 58, her work constantly attracts new readers.
She seems to speak so directly to our present that I think people really are constantly discovering her. Every day on Twitter, I see new people finding her and having their minds blown. So I'd recommend picking up one of her novels and having your mind blown. Kindred, the one I mentioned that's about time travel, is a very popular one. My personal favorite is Dawn, the one that's going to be made into a TV show, which is an alien invasion story. And it's just one of the best versions of that story you'll ever read.
Jerry Canavan's eponymous book is available now. You can learn more about Octavia E. Butler, Canavan, and all of our guests by visiting our site at viewpointsonline.net. Our writer-producer this week is Polly Hansen. I'm Gary Price.
Recent news stories have prompted consumers to doubt the safety of their indoor environments. We've learned that our home air may be contaminated with mold, radon, and other harmful toxins, and our water may contain lead or copper. Consumers need an unbiased tool to assess their indoor living spaces. However, no all-in-one do-it-yourself kit has existed until now. It's the Yogi Assessment Kit from Live Pure Incorporated. Here's founder Greg Sankoff.
The Yogi takes indoor air samples from mold, asbestos, lead, VOCs, formaldehyde, and radon, and a water sample for contaminants identified by the EPA. Samples are analyzed by a certified lab with clear results and unbiased guidance then provided by LivePure. Customers receive peace of mind or information on potential remedies to improve indoor environments and preserve health.
The Yogi Assessment Kit is a unique air and water quality testing service. Find out more at livepureinc.com.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.